from the town of Nazareth. And since you don't know which Nazareth or you don't know where Nazareth is, let me help you just because it's in this place called Galilee. They probably, many people didn't even know where that was. You see the contrast. Luke's simple, straightforward language tells us that she had this firstborn son, most likely in a stable, because the witness and the testimony is, both here and what Peter's going to preach next week about the proclamation of the angels to the shepherd, is that you're going to find the baby in a feed trough, and there was only one place that a feed trough would be in a stable. And she laid him, and I'm certain that Joseph did the best he could to clean out the old and to clean up the spot because it was his baby. At that point, having no idea that he would be the ruler of the whole world, that he would be greater than Herod the Great and more omnipotent than Caesar ever thought he could be. He cleaned it out and searched for fresh hay, may have had to pay for it, but put the fresh hay in and laid that baby in that feed trough because the only place for them was in a stable. The only place for them was in a stable. And we join with 2,000 years of people, nearly 2,000 years of people who have read this document. And I realize you're not reading it for the first time. Probably most of you are not hearing this story for the first time. But for nearly 2,000 years, people have been reading it for the first time and not known the story. And they have all asked, why? Why would this one that this great biography is going to be written about, why would this one that angels have come to proclaim that the Son of God was coming and his way would be prepared like one who was like Elijah? Why? Why in a manger? Why in a feed trough? Why in a stable? Why among the animals? Why in that place? And again, Luke, with that most rudimentary language, tells us, because there was no room for them in the inn. The way we like to paint the story is with lots of drama. Joseph and Mary come riding in on a donkey, and she's breathing heavy. She's doing her Lamaze. And Joseph goes and starts pounding on doors, and no one will let them in. And of course, we have to identify one particular person, right? And generally, it's a man. It needs to be a man, doesn't it? Who says, we're not having any room for that here. We're not let in on those kind of details. We only know that there's no room for them where most normal people would be given room. They may have even had a room, and then suddenly this mother who was pregnant began to give birth, and in a crowded inn, the owner said, we're not having that here. We don't know the whole story. We don't know why, but what we do know is in this most basic of language is that there was no room. No room at the inn. No one who is making room for Mary's little boy, who we know as Jesus, which means God saves. And so it is in that minimalist language that for nearly 2,000 years, Luke has been inviting us to ask, not at the end of the story, not when the cross is empty and the tomb is empty, but right here at the beginning, are you ready? Am I one who's going, is making room for Jesus? Am I making room for the one who will save me? Am I making room for the one who will comfort me? Am I making room for the one who will change the meaning of hope? Am I making room for the one who brings peace, not because he is like Caesar Augustus and will demand peace from all his subjects, but brings peace by giving his life on the cross. Are we making room for Jesus? Are we making room for the one who will tell us what love is and then invite us to love one another? Are we making room for a joy that isn't about our circumstances, and it isn't about the moment that we're in, but a joy that is intended to transform the world? Making room. So if I could quickly give some ideas of how we, and maybe how even Luke was pointing toward to us to make room for Jesus. First of all, Luke understands the world differently than most do. Luke has told us about Herod the Great and Caesar Augustus, but what he is saying is that Jesus is going to become and is for us and should be for us the center point of our history and everything that we understand about power structures. Did you hear Isaiah? Approximately 600 years before Jesus came. God looks at the rulers of the world and the powerful princes, and he says, no, that's not the answer. He says the answer is a cross. He says the answer is a manger. He says that history will spin around these events, and that everything that we understand about influence and power will be redefined by the fact that the King of the universe decided to come among us in a stable in a little town called Bethlehem. It's so interesting the way that we see the world. And maybe even not just the way we see it, but we fret about the world. Oh, goodness, our nation, what has it come to? Oh, our world, how will it ever find solutions? And in reality, when we do that, we're pushing Jesus a little further to the margin and saying, yes, in reality, you should be in that little story about Bethlehem and a stable and a manger. Not on the center stage, not at the center point. Because whatever's broken about our world, the answer and the power that will make it what God wants it to be is Jesus. And as much as Herod may have had other plans, and as much as Caesar may have had other plans, it was the plan of the one who came in the feed trough that really changed the world. Secondly, I picked that verse of Joy to the World not just because it's the third and we sang the first and second. How long did it take you to get oriented? You knew you had heard it. You just weren't sure what we were doing with that. Where does that song come from? Joy to the world. No more let sin and sorrows root or thorns infest the ground. We need to see through the thorns. And the world has lots of thorns in it, doesn't it? Reality, our lives have lots of thorns in them. To the small ways that God is always calling us. Elijah sat on the mountain and heard the earthquake and the fire and the wind, but that wasn't where God was. God was in the small voice. I don't expect that when he's ready to take and use us for him to send a sky rider to put words in the sky, or to have our radio channel change and jump around to different stations so that the words come out in, Alan, I need you to do this. He's going to do stable things. He's going to do manger things. He's going to do little Mary things and simple carpenter Joseph things. And he expects us to have our eyes open no matter how thick the thorns may be. I don't know if we need to do this or not. But every once in a while, don't we need to join with Prince Charming and Sleeping Beauty, who draws his sword and will not let the thorns stand in the way between what he wants, but between him and what he wants. Can you see through the thorns to see the still small calling of God? Third, and this kind of goes back to, this is not the schedule. This isn't how this is supposed to happen. Bethlehem was full. The census had been called. Caesar said you'd come, and Quirinius said, Quirinius is going to enforce it. This is not the best time. But you see, the world's timing doesn't impact God. And maybe the world's timing needs to have a little less impact on us so that we can make room for Jesus. So we need to open the schedule of our lives for more Jesus today than yesterday. I don't know about you, but I need to make confession a little more part of my life. And whether that's coming forward in front of the church, that's not really what I'm talking about. I need to make the confession that there are sins and sorrows in my life, not because the world is so terrible, but because I'm so broken. I need to open up my life through confession. God, I need you. I need you more. God, I need you to overcome these things that by myself I can't overcome. God, I need you to forgive my sin so that there can be a little more Jesus in me today than there was yesterday. So while maybe the best time to engage in that confession would have been the minute that you woke up and said, God, I need you, we're here right now. And the question is, are you willing to say, God, I need you, to confess, God, I need you, so that Jesus can be a little more of me today than he was yesterday? Are you willing to do that now? You see, God has great things planned for us. But unfortunately, our hearts oftentimes stay so small. We're like the Grinch who needs to have our hearts multiplied so that we can open up our lives and our schedules for Jesus to become more a part. Rudy said it. Do we have time to open God's Word? Do we have time to pray? But I want to point you beyond those things. Do you have time to love? Do you have time to be kind? Do you have time to serve and bless? Or is the answer always, there's not really room in my schedule? And I think sometimes when we say there's not really room in my schedule, we're saying there's not really room in my heart. And ultimately, our lives will never be filled with the kind of joy, joy that God wants to fill the whole world with. But he wants to start with your life and your heart. He needs a little space. And if you'll give him just a little, kind of like a seed's worth of space, if you'll give it to him faithfully and honestly, he will grow that small space into everything that he needs to bring his kingdom in your life and to make your life a center point of the joy that he wants to bring to your family, to your community, and reality into the whole world. But did you catch the story? There wasn't room. You need to leave. You need to get it somewhere else. Goodness gracious. As much as we tried to push Jesus off the stage, as much as the world tried to do that, he came. Can you say that with me? He came. And you know what? Even if we're having a really hard time making room for Jesus in our life, there is a reality. That maybe even in the words that we sang today, or the scriptures that we read today, or heaven forbid, even in the words that I prepared to say today, that He's still coming into our lives. He came. He's still coming. And the question is, are you ready to be someone who is on board and expecting and inviting for Jesus to come again in His fullness in a way that changes everything, the whole world, because He is coming again? Or do you want to resist that? Because here's the thing that I can promise you. No matter how much Herod resisted it, no matter how much Caesar resisted it, no matter how much, and let's just hold him up there as this little foible, the innkeeper didn't want him to come, He came. He removed every obstacle, and He came. Your sin, your sorrows, the thorns of your life are not going to keep Jesus from coming. So are you making room? We're going to sing a song. It's a great song. It's going to ask you to open up to Jesus. And I would ask you, are you making room for Him? Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Father of mercy, save my day. I
light of your glory. Alan mentioned that the book of Isaiah has a lot in it. There are a lot of judgments on Israel and on Israel's enemies, but there's also God reveals what he plans to do with regard to his relationship with mankind. Specifically, he plans to save us. So I want to read from Isaiah 25, starting in verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for loving us so much that you would overcome our sinfulness, overcome our lack of faithfulness to you, that you would give of yourself to restore us to you. We thank you for Jesus, for his coming to earth, for the work that he began here on the earth of bringing your new kingdom, your new creation to the earth. Lord, help us to continue in that work. Help us to remember what he has done for us and what he calls us to as we take this bread, which to us is his body. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You
Would you pray with me again? Dear God, we thank you again for all that you do for us. We thank you for Jesus, for his giving of his very life on our behalf. As we take this this juice, let it remind us of the blood that he gave for us to save us. Lord, we give you thanks for that, and we ask that this would encourage us and strengthen us to live more pleasing to you. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy.
this time, we're going to collect an offering. If you're visiting, please don't feel obliged to contribute for our members to support the work that we do here. Would ask that you join me in prayer again. Lord, we thank you for the many gifts that you give us. We thank you for life itself, for the opportunity to live in this world. Lord, we recognize that we are particularly blessed in a physical way, and that our lives are very comfortable and easy compared to so many in the world who struggle just day to day. Lord, help us not to take those things for granted or to make us calloused towards those who are needy. Help us to appreciate those gifts. Help us to recognize that all those good things come from you and that they are blessings from you. Lord, help us to share in what we have, to be thoughtful and considerate of those around us. We ask that you would bless this offering. We ask that you would help it to further your work here on the earth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Again, Father, we're offering a praise to you today. We ask that you will be blessed by the things that we have done today in the service. We ask that you will continue to watch over this congregation and be with us. Just a couple of announcements that we'd like to make. I notice there's a lot of visitors in the audience, and if you would like to be welcomed by us in a special way, if you'll raise your hand, you'll be offered some bread. It's just our thanks for you being here today. A couple of quick announcements. Just as a reminder, if you have not picked up the caring and sharing, please do so, because there's a lot of changes that are taking place and this week. There's going to be a singing next Sunday night at the Sweeney congregation. It will be at 6 p.m., and if you're able to make it, that's the 29th of December. Also, the next Sunday morning, there's going to be a pancake breakfast. And if instead of Bible class, if you can come to Bible class and just be a part of that pancake breakfast, we appreciate it. It will be from 9:30 to 10:30. We want to thank everyone for participating in the Toys for Christmas and the food baskets that were provided yesterday. So all of y'all that were involved in that, thank you very much for your participation in that. The office will be closed all of next week. As a reminder, if there's an emergency or you need to get in contact with somebody, give Peter a call or call me, and we'll make arrangements to whatever to meet your needs, whatever it might be. Just give us a call and let us know. Just as a also a reminder, there will be no Wednesday evening service on the 25th. So if you show up here, well, you may have to have a service by yourself then. Just as a was called to our attention today, Bernice Skinner is also has had liver problems, and she's trying to get onto a list to receive a liver transplant. So we hope that will come through for her. Let's all bow for our prayer. Father God, we just thank you for all the things that you do for us. We especially thank you for sending Jesus, especially during this time of the season. Our minds are on that, and we just thank you for that. We ask that you will bless this congregation. We pray that you will bless the ones that are in attendance today. We press your, ask for your blessings on the the members and ask your blessings on the ones that are visiting with us today. We ask that you'll be with our missionaries that are throughout the world. We ask that you'll work with them and help them to accomplish the things that they need to accomplish in their particular area. Pray that you will be with the Arms of Hope, especially during this Christmas season. We ask that you will be with our military members. We ask that you'll watch over them, especially many of them have to be away from their families at this particular time. We have a great number that are on our prayer list. We ask that you'll comfort and strengthen them and heal them in whatever way that they may need for your healing hand. We ask that you'll be with Royce McCoy. He is experiencing some medical changes that needs to be for his medical needs. We pray that you will guide the doctors and that they can make that change. We pray that you will be with Kevin Hunter as he's waiting surgery. We pray that the surgery will be successful and be with him during this time. Pray that you will be with George Rasko, who is has been diagnosed with prostate cancer. We ask that you will comfort him, watch over him, and help the things that will be done for him that will be successful. Pray that you will again be with Bernice Skinner as she's waiting, trying to get on a transplant list. We pray that you will help her succeed in that accomplishment. We just thank you for all the things that you do for us. We ask that you'll continue to bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good. Please, let's stand for this closing song. We'll finish up and we'll sing one verse of this as we're going out today. Make sure and give your blessing to somebody today, maybe that person right next to you.
Oh, come, all ye faithful.